Well, greetings everyone. 18th of October, 2025. I'm honored to be here with you. Thank you, Father. I just want to bow my heart here just a minute and pray. Quiet my soul. Lord, oh Lord, all my praise belongs to you. You're so good, and I thank you. Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to speak for you. Lord, I love you so much, Jesus. Lord, we just invite you. I just bow my heart fresh and anew right now. Yield to you, surrender to you. Holy Spirit, do all you want to do, all that we will allow you to do. Lord, as we bow our hearts to you, Lord, give us ears to hear. Give me ears to hear. Lord, I love you. I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Everything in your word is creative. Thank you for your word, Lord. We're so blessed and we thank you, honor you, and we're expectant of you. We wait on you expectantly. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, greetings, everyone. I guess everybody thinks I'm going to speak on the same thing I was speaking on Thursday, but I am kind of, you know, I'm always thinking about and speaking about some of that, but I was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord has spoken something to me. I don't know when it was, a couple of weeks ago, scripture. There in, it's all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, quoting, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. And the title to my message is Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength. And Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy, what the Lord spoke. Well, he starts out in, I think it's Deuteronomy 6:5. But he says, the Lord your God, it says, hear, O Israel. The Lord your God is one. He's one. And said, and then he began to say what I'm going to, Jesus quoted it. And Jesus quoted it saying, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. That's I'm reading it out of Mark chapter 12, verse 30. That's in the New King James Version. All your heart. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You know, and as the Lord was speaking this to me, and I was, well, there's a reason you're bringing this up to me, Lord. I know what it is that you want me to meditate on it and want me to search it out. You want me to search. You want me to, you know, there's a scripture that says it's the heart of God to hide a matter, and the heart of a king to search it out. And so so I did. I meditated on it. And one of the things that I came to was, this is how he loves us, with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, and all of his strength. Everything in his existence, he loves us. And you know, I took note also, he didn't say, because he was talking, you know, he's bringing the law. And you shall do this, you shall do that, and you will obey me in this, you obey me in that, knowing they can't do it, because they can't do it apart from him, without him empowering, and we got that in Jesus. He's enabled us by His grace to walk in obedience and walk in the fullness of fulfilling the word. But He didn't say, "You shall obey me with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength," which He could have done because He was always. But He said, you know, He didn't say, "You shall do. You will do, you will work for me, you will serve me with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength." He didn't say that. He didn't say that you will observe all of these commandments and keep them with all of your soul and all of your mind, with all your heart, all your soul, mind and strength. He said, "You shall love me with all your soul, all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength." He was revealing something about His heart. That's what I got out of it. He was revealing, that's how He loves us. And you know, I went back, I said, "Lord, this reminds me of some messages that I've given in the past." So I went back and I got one message, and I couldn't even find out how old it was. It was very old. It was probably over 10 years old, and I still had notes on it. And then two messages that I've given with Kingdom Place Church, Wilmington, about intimacy. And I just got bits and pieces here, and I was just going over. I just printed it all out, and I had it all out there laid before me, and just waiting on the Lord. And the Lord said, "You know, grab this right here, and grab that, and grab this piece, and put this here." And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to kind of try to encourage you, but challenge you at the same time. Because, you know, and if this rubs you raw, it wasn't for you. It's for the people that are going to listen to it later. See, this is for all the people that are not here. No, don't be offended at all of it. And I don't think you will because you're here. But yeah, this is how He loves us. So I'm going to go to another scripture, James chapter 4, one of my favorite. James chapter 4, verse 8. James has always been from the time that I began to read the Gospels and read the New Testament when I got born again, James was always something I really wasn't excited about reading. And, because I was reading it with I know now why, because I was reading it with a heart that didn't understand His grace, with a heart that wasn't really truly fully free because I really hadn't learned enough of who I am and who He is, but more importantly, who He is in us, His indwelling. This is one of my favorite scriptures. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." And I've used it many times. You've heard me probably. And who draws first? We draw near. And drawing near to Him is us waiting on Him. You know, waiting on Him. And James, by the Holy Spirit, what he's saying here is that we determine the level of our relationship with Jesus. Not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. We determine it. We have absolute, complete authority, autonomy. We set the limits. If we want a limit, we set the limits. Thing is, the further I go in the Lord, I'm finding out that we're not supposed to have limits at all. And something the Lord spoke to me one time through a prophet in 1990. I've still got it written down. And he spoke all these things over me that were, you know, a little scary for me. But, you know, we were about ministry, and I didn't want to really want to minister. And he said that there is no limit to how far you can go in the Lord. And I meditated on that years later. I was able to pull that out and meditate on it. And the Lord revealed to me, that's how I look at my people. There's no limit He's the head and we're the body. The only thing that limits the body is the head. And he says there's no limit for you knowing me and exploring and understanding me. And the more I began to receive revelations that began to set me free, you know, I just began to realize how much I didn't really know. And I remember receiving revelation from Scripture, and then maybe 5 years, 10 years down the road, getting fresh revelation beyond what I had about it from the same Scripture. And that would happen 20, 30 times, 40 times. And because there's no end. There's no end to his understanding. Isaiah 40, forgot the verse. But there's no end to it. Says there's no searching to his understanding. There's no end. There's no end to exploring and receiving. And we always will never reach that. Even in, when we get to heaven, we'll be still discovering the vastness of his wisdom and of the knowledge of him and his word. His word. And so I remember Andrew talking one time about he was sharing some scripture, a little passage of scripture, and he says I wrote two books out of this. Just over a period of time, he got revelation after. He had several series that he did, and he wrote two books out of this one passage from what the Lord showed him. So there's always more for us. There's no limit to how far we can go. And people that are in close relationship with Jesus and that hear from him, and have an intimate relationship with him, have it because they choose to have it. Now, maybe they didn't choose, they weren't thinking about where they would be, over a period of time. Oh, if I stick with this for, a year or 5 years or whatever, I'll be there. Their intent was to know him. But they had no idea where it would take them. They had no idea of the ripple effects that it would have in life, in their lives, in lives of those around them. But it was all because they chose to. The people that I know, and I'm not talking about people who are in ministry. I'm talking about just ordinary people that choose to be and are willing to do whatever they have to do to be in relationship with the indwelling Savior, to be in intimacy with him. You understand? And so I remember, and the more that I come across these people, and I don't come across many, I endeavor to be one, but I don't come across these people very often because I sense it. I got a sensitivity to certain things, and I guess part of the gifting. I can be in, if somebody comes into a room and I don't see them, and either they have a demon or there's one hanging on them, I can sense it, the demonic presence. And that's not a gift I was asking for, that's for sure. But things like that, or I can sense other things too, like if somebody's got this, you might call it a heavenly glow, but just a presence on them. I remember when I was a baby Christian, and I probably was maybe a month or two old in the Lord, and a relative of mine, an uncle, came to visit, and he was somebody that the whole family kind of looked to. He was very wise. As young as he was very wise, and I remember him when he was a teenager, and I was very young, and how wild he was, and that he joined the army. He was married into the family. He married my aunt, down in South here, we call them the ant. And I didn't realize I was going to tell this story, but anyway, I'm going to tell it. But Jesus got a hold of he and my aunt, my aunt. And I mean, he was a lifer in the Army. He retired from the Army, was in Army intelligence, but he also pastored a church. But he had this relationship, and anyway, he came to, because I was so, everybody knew in the, well, everybody in the family knew that I was a rascal, you know, that I was a, I was, you know, I was a heathen from hell is what I was. And so, you know, there's a lot of problems. And so, not everybody believed it when I went through this transformation in an instant. And so, some of them asked my uncle to come down and visit. So he came to visit. And I didn't know he was coming to check me out. But he came, you know, and he had bought tickets to football game over in Chapel Hill, college football game. So we went over to the University of North Carolina, went to the football game, and I'm sitting in the stadium with him. And I'm a baby Christian, and we're not talking to each other. We're watching the game, and I'm sitting there, and I'm picking up something. And I don't know how, I don't recognize, I don't know any of the things. I just knew something's different. And I'm sitting, but I could hear the voice of the Lord. And I'm sitting there going, ooh, there's something going on here. Why do I feel this way? What is it that I sense? And the Lord spoke up and he said, that's me. And I'm on your Uncle Jimmy. I'm all over him. He carries my presence with me wherever he goes, because he dwells in my presence. He waits on me. He waits on me in the mornings, and I'm with him all day. And you're sensing it, the proximity. You're sitting right next to him. You're so close, so you're picking it up. And I was just so intimidated with that. I didn't know what to do, because I still, you know, kind of, I knew his love and that he'd forgiven me, but I still had a lot of guilt, you know, I was hanging on to. So I felt, I mean, I sensed the goodness of God and the holiness of his presence of Jesus on him. And I was convicted by it, I guess, or I don't know. But anyway, I sensed it. And there's been other times, you know, many times that I remember going to minister at a rest home when I was in a Bible college in Burlington, North Carolina. And part of a class we had was to go out and minister. So we'd go out to different places, and I was assigned to go to a rest home. And we went, and there was this old lady there, and they didn't have rooms. They were like in a big ward. They were all there together. They didn't have any privacy. And there was this one lady there, and we walked over. We were went two by two, and we walked over, excuse me. And that presence was with her too. I mean, she ministered to us. I mean, the love of Jesus was emanating from her. And there were ladies in that room who had demons. I could sense them. And they had so much anger. And, it was amazing. But she had this thing. It was amazing, you see, because she had taken that time to draw near to him who loves her with all of his heart and all of his soul, his mind, and his strength. And the interesting thing about the thing about us drawing near to him first, that he's waiting for us to do it because he responds, and because it was his idea. You know, God so loved the world. Says God so loved the world. The Father so loved humanity that he sent his only begotten Son. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was his idea. So passionate. He's so passionate about us becoming intimate with him. He's passionate about you being intimately close with him more than you are, so that we'd be like my Uncle Jimmy or this lady I ran into, or another time when I was went to a conference we had, and a guest speaker came, and he came out from behind the curtain behind the stage. He stayed back there. I don't know, I guess a green room, whatever they do. And when he walked out onto the stage, I mean, everybody in the auditorium knew, this is a different dude. And I picked it up. I could sense it, and I could sense it. And again, I was like, what is it about this guy? And he had given time to waiting on the Lord, to be with him, to spend time with Jesus. I mean, I don't remember everything that he said, but I do remember that he wasn't a great teacher. He wasn't going into great detail. He wasn't a scholar. He may not have known the word any more than I did at the time, but man, the word knew him. You know, I remember when I was at Caris Bible College, one day we were discussing some things in class. And it was, we were discussing. So we were, some feedback from the students. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and people were talking about, having the word. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to tell them this. It's not about how much word that you have. It's, does the word have you? Does the word possess you? And he's the word. I'm getting way off of my notes. I'm probably not going to finish. I don't know how long I've been going. Ernestine, can you tell me how long I've been going so far?
I can't tell you without stopping the recording, but it's 7:53, so you've probably been going about 25 minutes.
25 minutes. Okay, there's some limitations in it. Okay, but anyway, let me go back, because maybe I should have brought this scripture up first. I just read to you James 4:8. Now I'm going to read to you James chapter 4, verse 5. And I'm going to read it to you. It's not the King James Version. I can't remember. I think I got this out of the English Standard Version. But it's, this is just part of that verse. He yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in you, your newborn again spirit. He longs to spend time with you by the Spirit. He passionately loves you. He passionately loves you with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his mind and all of his strength, and he gave everything that came to die, that God came to die in Jesus, came to die and to rise again so that we could rise with him and be free. And, in Psalms 139, I think David wrote this, but in Psalms 139 says, Lord, if I consider your thoughts towards me, they're more than all the sand in all the earth, on all the sand on all the seashores of all the earth. But he didn't say your thoughts about the human race or about the body of Christ. It was about you. His thoughts about you and his thoughts about me are a higher and greater number than all of the grains of sand on planet Earth. Now, you can do your own research, but 1 cubic foot of grains of sand will hold 1.8 billion grains of sand. And he has more thoughts than that about you. And I tell you what, I love Kathy with everything in me, but my thoughts are not that good. I mean, I don't have that many thoughts. I even the Lord, I love the Lord, but it's not that much. I mean, but see, we can exaggerate, but he doesn't exaggerate. He's not exaggerating. He's not embellishing. This is truth. You know, this is all about who he is. He's so passionate and wanting us to be intimate with him. He was so passionate about wanting to be with us that he's trying to doing things to get our attention. He wanted Moses' attention, so he had set a bush on fire that would not be consumed. So much so that Moses could have passed right by, but he didn't. He drew aside to it. Okay? And so I got to turn aside and see what this is. Why is this bush? I see the flames, but it's not consumed. And I know I'm going too far. I'm going too long. But, you know, my whole thing is trying to get everybody ready for what's coming. I'm going to read this. This is a prophetic thing I'm going to bring you right now. Amos. Prophet Amos. Chapter 3, verse 7. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So this is me pulling a prophet card, my calling. And the Lord's been revealing to me, and you all know it if you've been listening to anything I've said, but, you know, he's been speaking to me a lot. But he's spoken to me for 50 years about what's coming, but he's really spoken to me in the last 5 years. Especially about 5 years ago, maybe it was four, but I think it was five. No, it was a good 5 years ago. In detail about what's about to take place. And he's telling me, I want you to get my people ready. Because I don't want them to be in a place where they are not partaking of it. Because you can not partake of it. And because he's going to sweep in a bunch of people into the kingdom that will know him. And it'll be a challenge to keep up with these baby Christians, really. But so that's me. I'm trying to prepare us for what he's about to do. And those that are prepared, those that are not prepared, you will not be very effective. Doesn't mean you won't be affected by it. But you will not be very effective because he wants to affect planet Earth with what he's going to do. And he's going to do it through his body. But see, his body's not always paying attention because he's been calling his body to draw near to him and be intimate for a long time, decades. I mean, he's been talking to me about that, and that's why I'm teaching what I'm doing on Thursday afternoon to Thursday night. So it's about us being preparing ourselves by learning how to wait on him. And now think about this. Where do you want to be in 1 to 5 to 10 years from now in any area of your life, whether it be in your walk with him, intimacy with him, and financially, relationship wide, if you're married, as a couple, where do you want to be? If you're not, just your whatever the Lord has for you, ministry, I mean, it doesn't matter. Business, where do you see yourself? Where would you like to be 1 year from now, or 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Well, I don't look 10 years down the road no more. I'll be 76 in about 6 weeks. And because I know what's about to take place. I'm looking at like today. I'm going to take these steps, action steps. You know, when I was in business, and I would get a plan for what I was going to do as far as developing something, and okay, these are the action steps that I've got to take to get to that goal. It doesn't matter how small a project it was or how big it was, and I do the same thing in everything I do in life now, but. But it's about the steps that you take right now. Because, see, I've made my choice. He said, I want you to draw near to me. And I'm obeying him. And I'm going to continue to obey him. Now, that choice is yours. Your choice, you make your choice now today. Because here's the thing, today, we got today right now. We got one shot at today. This is it. We don't get any repeats for today. I'd like to try yesterday again. No, I can't do it. We got, and it, here it is. It's you know, just after 8 o'clock p.m., and we got the rest of this evening about yielding ourselves to Him, bowing our hearts to Him, and just going after Him, quieting our heart with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength. And so, you know, just trusting Him for these things. If we'll yield to Him and trust Him with our whole heart. I'm going to give you this story. I'm probably going to stop after this because I've got another couple of pages. But I'm going to stop after this. And I've told this story before, but it was about 4 or 5 years ago. Let's think about this. Let's think about a love relationship that, you know, maybe you could consider. If you have a love relationship, my story is about a relationship between a young child and his parents. And, you know, for me, with my parents, it was like this for me. You're the young child, and, you know, your mom and your dad, let's just think of it this way. Now, not everybody's had the same good experiences. But I never believed that my parents could lie. They never lied to me. I didn't believe they ever lied to me. I never believed there was anything they did not know. They were all knowing. And they never lied. Never. And I trusted them. I mean, it was so normal to just completely be abandoned to trusting everything they said. And I knew that I was loved. I mean, my mom, she had to be the most special human being on the planet. My dad was away at work a lot, you know, like a week at a time and things like that. Every week, pretty much. He was home on weekends mostly. But my mom, I thought she had to be the most intelligent human being on the planet, because I don't care if my dad was looking for something, couldn't find it, or myself or my two sisters. I don't care what it is that we had misplaced. She knew where it was. And I remember taking note as a young child going, my mom is so smart. So she's so brilliant. But she was so honest. My dad was too. And I trusted every single word that came from them. I mean, my love for them and their love for me was like, there was no question in it. I never questioned. I never had a question about their love for me. And there was, you know, if they said something was going to take place, it's done. I mean, you knew that that's what was going to take place. There was no limits or restrictions on that I could have had at the time. I mean, you had total faith and trust in it, and you just trust everything they said. You not only have their word, but you have them that backs up their word. I mean, they're mom and dad. And it's all based on this love relationship. It was just this relationship that was so powerful and so strong and so intimate. And I remember the Lord speaking to me as a young child, and always his love and everything I sensed from Him reminded me so much about my mother's love, you know, so caring and nurturing and all of that. But the more your love relationship grows, the more secure you are in it, and you mature in it. I mean, you have faith in it. See, this is a picture. I mean, you think about it, this is a picture of what it's supposed to be like between us and the Lord. You know, you and your Father, or you and Jesus. You know, if my parents said, they never said this because we were poor, but if they said, we're going on a big vacation and we're going to be going so-and-so, you know, the time we're going to go to Disney World or Disneyland or something, which we never did anything like that. But if they ever said anything like that, I mean, it was just shouting going on. I mean, we're going to go on a picnic. We did that. And we would all get so excited. We thought that was the best thing that could ever happen. We're going to go on a picnic. We're going to go to a park. It was a big deal. It was like going on vacation. We never went on vacation. But anyway, it was like having a vacation. And you know what I didn't do? Get my sisters together. You know, I was the only boy. I had two sisters. Get my sisters to go, you know, we need to fast and pray. I mean, because we got to make sure this happens. We got to fast and pray. We didn't do none of that. We didn't meditate on it. They made this promise. They said this. We didn't have to meditate on it. We didn't recite it over and over and over again like it's a mantra, like a lot of Christians do with the word. They recite it over and over again, but they're not really meditating in it. They're just using it like it's a mantra. It's like, you know, like the Hindu religion. They do say these things over and over again. I believe, I believe, I believe, I receive. I declare, I decree. I don't have anything against declaring and decreeing, but I'm just saying that's something I didn't do. You know, I didn't call my Christian friends and ask them to agree with me. I didn't have any Christian friends who weren't a Christian. But that's things that didn't come to mind because I'm a child that trusts everything that I've been told. You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, because here's what happens with believers. I'm not going to call them. Here's what happens with Christians. They hear something from the Lord, and I minister to a lot of pastors, and I'm ministering to some now, that, you know, this is what the Lord says is going to happen, but they're stressed out about it, and they're praying about it, and they're trying to rebuke fear, and they're trying to rebuke stress, and they're trying to, I mean, I'm ministering to several people right now that are under stress, and but this is what the Lord said. Instead of resting in that and then taking every thought captive, you know, it's like you have to remind, well, you know, I like to be reminded too. But you have to be reminded of these things. Because, see, we'll sit around and we'll go through these exercises of trying, what we're doing is we're just trying to convince ourselves because we really don't believe. I don't believe that mom and dad's really going to do this, so I need to fast and pray. Hold my hands. We're going to fast and pray. And, you know, I mean, let's declare it. We have to receive it. We got to receive this by faith. We got to make this happen. I remember one time, you know, I was one of the pastors that I talked to. He said, well, you know, we've entered into a time of fasting. I said, well, what are you fasting about? Oh, we're fasting because we want to get God to do this. We know if we fast and we pray, we'll get him to do it. We're going to make him do it. I said, what? Time out. You're not going to make God. That's something he already wants to do. So, anyway, but we were around on that. But so basically you're trying to convince yourself because you really haven't received it. You haven't trusted him. And the thing we don't do, we haven't rested in what he says because we, you know, we have to begin with, we have to rest in the fact that he already dwells here. That we don't see ourselves as sons and daughters, which we are. To the Father. That's our identity. We're sons and daughters. I remember Pastor Bob Nichols was ministering in the third year class out in Colorado. Pastor Bob Nichols is a dear friend. I think he recently passed away. And he's very old when he came to ministry. He was in his 80s 10 years ago. So, but he was involved in that when the Holy Spirit began to pour out in the 60s and went into the 70s, where I got swept in, he was one of the first pastors that caught all that. And he established a very large ministry and just helps hundreds and thousands of people. And he came and he spoke at the school. And I never forget, he commented on this. He was speaking at a minister's conference. 2014, and he said this, he said, as the years have gone by, he said, in these latter years, he's rediscovering the secret place. I mean, when he said that, my spirit leapt within me. You see, intimacy is costly. It cost the Father everything. It cost Jesus everything. And, you know, it'll cost us vulnerability. You know, it requires vulnerability. It requires time, you know, to make room for Him. You know, we sing this song at Christmas, Joy to the World, Joy to the World, blah, blah, blah. Let every heart prepare Him room, make room for Him. You know, and it requires that we die to ourselves. So I'm just exhorting you to draw nearer to Him. And He will take care of everything else. He will prepare you. And that's what, you know, that's what we're doing on Thursdays. We're going to get into learning how to wait on Him, and we're going to learn how to abide in Him. And so I'm going to bring this to a close. I better stop now. But I want to open this up to questions for anybody. Should I pray first, Ernestine?
Yes, Robert, pray first, and then you can open up with questions.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Papa. Well, Papa, don't know that I did a great job with what you gave me. But you always do stuff. My weakness, Lord, you use my weakness to access somebody's heart. They access yours. Lord, I just pray that you take the word and, oh, Lord, that you just breathe life for someone, that they could catch something that was said in there that they could get a hold of and meditate in themselves and get. You just speak blessing, Lord, that you seal this word by your Spirit in their hearts, Lord, that is true as yours. Lord, you empower us, you enable us, Lord. You in grace, by your grace, you empower and enable us as much as we're willing to receive. And we're so hungry and thirsty for you, and we want to be more of it. Lord. Thank you so much. I just speak blessing over all of these and all that will listen and hear this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm done now.
Amen. Does anyone have any questions for Robert?
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask,
what is the best way that you enter in to the secret place? Like, get ready to enter in. I mean, I know that you've covered a lot of that, but I just like, in a practical sense, when you get quiet, you're just like meditating on the Lord.
Well, blessed. I'm trying to figure out who you are, but maybe I don't know.
That's Rhonda.
Oh, yeah, Rhonda. This is Rhonda. I don't know why Zoom keeps changing. I don't know what's going on with it.
Okay, Rhonda. I want to invite you, if you want to join us on Thursdays, either afternoon or evening session, because I'm training, not just teaching, but training on this.
Oh.
Yeah. And also, let's see. Do you have my email address?
I don't know. I know that I attended. I'm getting confused. I'm not positive.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put it in chat right now. And if you will email me and make sure you put me in your contact, you'll receive an email. You will receive email from me.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. I'm trying to pull up something right here. Hope you don't mind me taking a minute. All right. Okay, Ernestine, can I put up links?
Yeah, you can. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want your permission. We have a ministry YouTube channel, and we have a Facebook page. Now, there's a message. Were you here this last month, the message I gave?
I think so.
Okay, well, I've got the message on the Facebook page, and you can go and watch it, or you can go listen to the audio version on Ernestine's website. But
Okay.
I'm going to post these links. These links are YouTube channel link, and you can access all of my videos. I did two vi I recorded two videos on Thursday, and you can watch either one of them or both of them. And then I've got the link here to the website, I mean to the Facebook page as well. You can just copy and paste that or whatever you want to do. And but if you email me, then I can put you onto the email group so that when I send out emails, you'll get a copy. But here's what you want to do, just in a nutshell. I'm training people how to bring the soul into submission to the spirit. And but what I tell you something I do, and this will be helpful for everyone. It varies from morning to morning, but I'm in a place right now where, you know, we get up, and then, you know, I help Kathy get, you know, into this master. We had this big master suite area. Master bath is real big, and she's got everything access to everything she wants to get access to. So she takes care of herself in there. You get ready and all that, and she takes her time and she spends time with the Lord herself in there. And she's got her iPad and all that. Well, I go when the mornings are pretty. I'll go out there on the front porch and I'll spend 2 or 3 hours or more. But what I'll do is I'll just meditate on the Lord, but I'll pray in the spirit. And sometimes it's just 10 to 15 minutes, and sometimes it's 45 minutes to an hour, anywhere in between, just meditating on Him. And then I've got some scriptures, and I sent that out. But I don't know how to get it to you. But maybe Ernestine can forward it to you. But I'm waiting on him that I use. That's what I use. You know, you can. But I don't go through them all every day. Like I just feel led in a certain ways, and I'll grab something. But what I do is I quiet my soul before him, and I just meditate on him. You know, and this doesn't take the place of meditating in the Word or reading the Word, because I'm following, you know, Andrew Womack has a, you know, a thing where every day, like calendar day, is here's what we're reading in the Bible today. That way, in 1 year, you read through the whole Bible, and I do that every year. You know, and so I'm doing that, but I'm doing this too. But then throughout the day, I'm meditating on the Lord, but I'm meditating in His Word. But I just get my soul still. And I quiet my heart and I just wait on him. And you know, I spend some time in worship. But I want to suggest that you go, first thing you do is go to the Facebook page and watch that one. I've got it, I don't know a lot about Facebook or YouTube, so the Lord told me to do this and I did it. Now, it wouldn't have been what I'd have chose to do, to be honest with you, because I don't know anything about what I'm doing. But I did do this thing called pinning. I pinned the video. The video in on the Facebook page. So this one that's pinned, and the message I gave there, here, I mean, in Kingdom Place, and I would suggest you watch that first, or go listen to Ernestine's audio version on her website, and then go and get what one or either both or whatever you want to do of those that I presented on YouTube. And either the 2 o'clock, you'll say the afternoon session or evening session. So that's what I would do. And that's what I would begin with. But it's about just being, wanting to be with Jesus, just want to be with him and acknowledge his indwelling. Because he's not out there somewhere. We don't have to go, you know, one of the things I was talking about Thursday is that. You know, seek the Lord. It's like in the Old Testament, they had to seek the Lord because they didn't have him here. And but it's not like he's playing. We're playing hide go seek. I'm going to press in. You know, I'm going to press in to seek the Lord and find. I'm going to find him. I'm seeking while he may be found. No, that's not for us. That's Old Testament thinking. What we're doing is we're going to acknowledge that he's already here. Jesus is already here. Yeah, he's the indwelling Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father. It's all here. We're all one. Jesus said we're one. And so we're one with them. You know, I ministered on that. So I just thank him for that. I just give him thanks for that. And sometimes I'll spend time reminding, just rehearsing in my mind all the goodness that he is to me, done it for me, how he rescued me and set me free to start out with, and rescued me in certain situations, or when I was in, you know, when I'd suffered great loss, how he comforted me and met me. Things like that. You know, I just, every day is different, but every day I make room for him, and I spend time with him, and that's what I do, and I look forward to it so much. I look forward to it. So, I don't know if I helped you at all.
Yes, thank you, and I got those websites put down. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else got a question or anything? You can ask me a question about anything you want to. I might not have an answer. Ernestine, if I say something you don't agree with now, you got to speak up, because this is your room.
Hi, Robert.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I really enjoyed that class and your sermon tonight. But I did have a question about, when we're quieting our soul, do we ask the Holy Spirit questions or just meditate on his goodness? Or,
you know, when I tell my soul to be still, it's incredible how much he doesn't want to be still.
Yeah, I tried it.
I know you heard my story about how I taught that out at the college that time. But, you know, no, we don't. We don't ask, because what we're doing is we're waiting to be still with Jesus. We're waiting on him. And the Holy Spirit's going to help. But the way he helps with this is to encourage us not to give up. But we don't ask him questions. All we need to do is get still and just, you know, what I do, I close my eyes and I just envision Jesus right here. One time I had a vision. And in my vision, I'm standing in a line with other people and Jesus walks up. You know, I mean, he's fully in his body, you know, it's like his resurrected body. He walks up to us. But he walks up to us one by one, and he's got this, I mean, his biggest grin, if you can. Now, use your imagination, everyone. He's grinning really, really big. He's so excited. And he walks up and gets up to everybody, nose to nose, and looking you in the eye. And I remember first time, it's really, now I think about it a lot, and I still do it. I still imagine that. But in this vision, I saw him. And I felt a little bit uncomfortable at first, but he had so much love coming out of him onto me that it relieved everything I had. So what I'll do is I'll quiet my soul and I'll just envision him right here in front of me. And I'll just in my mind, if I'm thinking anything, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm focused on you, Jesus. I'm here. Just waiting on you. I'm so excited about being with you, and I am with you right now because I abide in you. And he's right, you know, I acknowledge your indwelling, and I love you, and I'm just focused on you. And all these thoughts come to mind. I mean, I've got one person now. I had one person send me 9 questions in text. 9 separate texts, actually was 13, 14 questions. But all the questions I'd actually answered in the teachings, and I got to get back to them. I mean, I've been trying to get back to them, but you know, they hadn't responded. But anyway, so the thing was is that they thought, well, the Holy Spirit's talking to them. Should they stop and write it down? Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. It's your soul. I mean, he'll bring up stuff that's in your heart. You know, I mean, I've had him bring up messages. I've had him bring up scriptures that come to mind. And I've learned from the Lord. I learned this 50 years ago. So it's, to me, you see what I'm saying? This is not brand new for me. So I learned a long time ago from the Lord, that's your soul still trying to not surrender. And he'll bring up these scriptures and these things. And you know, something will come up, a thought will come up. Oh, I need to add that to my next teaching next Thursday. No, so you be quiet. The Holy Spirit can remind me later. So that's my answer to you, is that you just want to be focused on him, just waiting on him. But the biggest thing is you got to just keep your soul into submission. And the more you do it, day in and day out, depending on your personality, it might take a little longer than other folks. It does me. But you'll have longer periods of time of just being there focusing on him. Just being with him. Because he's there with you. And you can imagine that. And I know you're here with me. I abide in you and you abide in me. That's what his word says.
So you talk too, like you're talking.
Eventually, but see, you had to bring your soul into submission first. Once you get to a place where your soul is, the will of your soul is submitted, is broken. Your will has to be broken. Like I gave the story about when I used to train horses. But once your will of your soul is broken, you'll hear a voice like you've never heard before. And the thing is, he won't compete with our other attention. And that's why we had to get our soul into submission, because he wants us to be able to operate out of our spirit-to-spirit level. And not soul, but spirit to spirit, and then spirit through the soul. Once the soul's brought into submission, then you'll know it. There's no question about it. When it happened, because the first time it happened to me, the presence was so strong, I went face down into the floor. I mean, I was on the bed. I came out of there, I was on the floor. I'm in a holy place. I mean, I was like John, the Apostle John, fell on his face, you know. I mean, I was like that because I heard his voice, and it was like nothing that in his presence. It was different. You'll know it, but you just got to keep working at it. It's not going to happen in a day. It's not going to happen in a week of doing it every day. It's not going to happen in a month. For me, it took months. It took me months. I'm trying to remember how long it took, but I'm thinking it probably took 6 weeks to 12 weeks, somewhere along in there. But I mean, I had no idea what was going to happen. I just knew I needed to bring my soul into submission. My mentor I had didn't tell me what was actually, but he did tell me one day you'll hear him in a different way. He didn't tell me what the impact was going to be, but it's so cool.
And that's how you know your soul's in submission, when you hear him.
You'll know
in a different way.
Well, you will, because as time goes by, you'll realize that he's interrupting less and less, because you're bringing him more and more into submission. You're speaking to it, I address my soul.
He's interrupting less and less.
I tell you what. I can't remember. I think it was yesterday. I got so frustrated with my soul. I jumped up out of, I got a chair out there. I jumped up out of my soul chair, and I said, "Soul, I said, you need to shut up. Now that's enough." And it was good stuff he was saying, but it was like a,
Distraction.
it's a distraction.
Because
he doesn't want to submit. It's a funny thing because, and I hate to draw this parallel, but, you know, casting out demons, you know, my experience with that is that sometimes when you get to a resistant situation, when somebody's just full of demons, and, you know, I remember one time we cast demons out of a young witch, and man, she was overwhelmed. I mean, it was like in the Gospels being possessed, you know, kind of thing. And they will do all kinds of things to avoid, to distract you and to draw attention to themselves, but to distract you and to keep from having to bow, keep from having to yield. And the soul is similar. It will do anything to keep from having to surrender. But what it doesn't realize is that once it does surrender, then it's released into the beauty of itself, the beauty of His grace, you know. One time I had trained in one horse, and it was a little filly, and the sire, her dad was the number three in the world ranked reining horse, which is a high-spirited horse. You'd have to look up what reining is. It's something in horse shows, competition. But she had a lot of will. It's an absolutely beautiful horse, young horse. But it took me a longest time. I never had to spend that much time, but I loved up on her and broke her will, and then went to the first horse show. And she's still young. She's just a young filly. Hadn't been ridden yet. She's still young. She's still just maybe 7, 8 months old. And so I wasn't walking her around. I had someone else that'd been working alongside with me training so that they could, I didn't want to go around. I didn't want to do the show. But they walked around with this horse, but her will was broken. And she was doing everything so perfectly. And there was a line of a bunch of horses going around, but they pointed, the guy on the loudspeaker pointed her out and spoke her name. She knew her name. This is so-and-so, look at her. And when they did, she perked up, and I mean, everything was absolutely perfect. She was so yielded to that person leading them around and doing the things that they told him to do, and so perfectly that the guy, he was just amazed at it, and he made it a big point. I mean, there was a standing ovation, and she was just like, just prancing around doing her thing. And as I looked at that, and I said, you know what? The soul, when it gets released into its real purpose, the beauty that the Lord intended is amazing. Because the spirit of that horse came through. Because I didn't break the spirit. But see, now, then you're born again spirit. It just filters through. And then it just flows through. I don't even know how to put it into words, but you'll know. But anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. I go off on tangents.
No, that's good. I was talking to, I had listened to this pastor for a while, and he would say, and I have a friend that he would say, that he'll say, soul, submit to my spirit, and spirit, take me to the Father,
mm-hmm.
is what he would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what I'm doing, the Lord has made it an emphasis to me, and I'm going to emphasize it a little more on Thursday, but that the focus has to be about Jesus, not the Father. Because what the Lord is revealing to me is that the Father has made it a big point to glorify the Son. You know, to glorify the Son. And all the way through the point, and to all the way through the marriage, the wedding that we're going to be a part of as the bride. And so the Father wants the Son glorified and magnified, and the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify and to magnify the Son. And so that's our focus. But I love what the man said. So you come into submission to my spirit, because I say the same thing. It's the kind of stuff I say. You will submit to my spirit. Come into submission to spirit. You be still right now. Everybody can speak to their soul.
Yes, because